Sit tight and listen keenly while I play for you another brand new musical biscuit.
I hope you realize you're playing a dynamite.
Listen, I'll bet you it's bad.
Welcome to 80s Only, your trip back to the 80s with two guys who were there and most importantly had the best hair. Yay! I am the 80s groom himself, Monty Griffin, and with me is the Johnny Carson of the 1980s. That's right, I'm talking about Eric Swainy. How are you doing, sir?
Wild, wacky stuff, Monty. Wild, wacky stuff.
So, if you're wondering why he's Johnny Carson this week, it's because of this. We're talking about the 1984 Oscars, and who happened to host those Oscars, Eric?
That would be Johnny Carson, Monty. Yes, 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 you're correct, Johnny Carson.
You're correct, sir.
Well played, sir, yes.
Well played, sir. There you go, yes. We're talking about the 1984 and 1988 Oscars today. Those are for the movies that happened the year before. So they're movies from 1983 and 1988, not from 1984 or 89, as Eric found out when he read the outline.
Like, wait a minute, these aren't 1989 movies. Oh, that's right. The Oscars that happened in 1989, the movies were from 1988. Okay, okay. Now I got it. Monty, I have a question for you. What do you think about 20 dwarves turning handstands on the carpet while talking about their rubber baby buggy bumpers?
Only think about that after I kill Elliot Gould in an alley and I just ate in the car 15,000 times.
Well played. Well done. All right.
Yes. If you're wondering, that's a Bugsy reference. And yes. Eric and I have been to broadcast school. Brown clown.
Yes. And verbal exercises. Yes.
Yay. All right. It's time for America's favorite segment. That's right. It's time for Pop Quiz Hot Shot. What happens here? I go to have the top 10 lists of this day 40 years ago.
Wow.
March 14th, 1984. I will tell Eric the name of the song. He will guess the artist. And if he gets it wrong, his computer will blow up. Let's take it away right here, Dennis Hopper.
Quiz, hotshot. There's a bomb on a bus. Once the bus goes 50 miles an hour, the bomb is armed. If it drops below 50, it blows up. What do you do? What do you do?
All right. Are you ready, sir?
I could try this time. I could try. It's going to be a rough one for me, I think.
Let's put it this way. If you get any of these wrong, I'm getting a new co-host. Okay. I'm
oh, no. Okay. I better watch this. Be on my P's and or Q's.
This is like so like up our alley today. It's not even funny. I probably just have to say two words and you'll figure out the band name. Okay. At number 10. They're rising from 12 the week before. I'm talking about New Moon on Monday.
Duran Duran.
Yes.
New Moon on Monday.
This next one might be hard.
Oh, see?
This one's falling. It was 6 last week. It was his last top 10 song. Nobody Told Me.
Nobody told me there'd be days like these. Oh, gosh. I know it. Is it Nobody Told Me? Is it John Lennon?
It's John Lennon. The song peaked at number 6. It is his last top 10 song, single ever, solo. It was released, obviously, after he died. He wrote that song. He recorded that song in the sessions with Double Fantasy, maybe for the next album, Milk and Honey. But he was going to give the song to Ringo for Ringo's next album, Stop and Smell the Roses. But Ringo was a little depressed, so he didn't want to sing any of John's songs. So Yoko Ono released it a few years later, and hence his last top 10 song.
That's a great song. I love that song.
Yeah, it's a good
song. And I also applaud you for working in some Beatles news.
Thank you. I know that's surprising. At number 8, Here Comes the Sun Again. The rain again. Sorry.
You should see. You try to work Beatles into even this. Oh, the Eurythmics.
Yay. That was Holding Steady. At number 7 in Holding Steady, I Want a New Drug.
Oh, Huey Lewis and the News.
At number 6.
I feel like right now, by the way, I feel like I need to go put my face into a sink full of ice.
Do it. Please do it.
Okay.
At number 6, this is it's going down, but Eric loves this artist. I'm talking about Thriller.
That's right. Michael Jackson, Thriller. Look at the pillow. Ow!
At number five, Eric used to have his hair like the main character of this movie. I'm talking Footloose.
Ren McCormick, Kevin Bacon. Well, the song, of course, Footloose by Kenny Loggins.
Yes. Number four, and going down, she was cute. She was German. She had 99 loof balloons.
Nena, Monte. Nena. 99 said loof balloons.
At number three, it's his second appearance on the chart, but he was not the lead singer of this song. Somebody's Watching Me.
Oh, Rockwell, featuring Michael Jackson.
Holding City at number two. We're going to talk about this song right after Eric figures it out. Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Oh, Cyndi Lauper. She's just so unusual.
Yeah, so basically, Cyndi Lauper was 30. She had just broke up with her band called, I think it was called Blue Angel, and she had a new manager. His name was David Wolf, who became her boyfriend, who Eric talked about last week in the aforementioned We Are the Pod. Yes.
Super genius said that We Are the World wouldn't be a hit.
Yes, exactly. So they figured out this is our last chance to make it big or something. So they put together some money, $30,000, to make the Girls Just Want to Have Fun video. Everybody worked for scale or for free. They needed a father figure in the video. And then Cyndi Lauper remembered she was on the airplane that she met this guy who was in wrestling, Captain Lou Albano, and he would do it. And then Vince McMahon okayed it because he wanted WWF to get bigger. And then somebody, I think David Wolf is friends with Lorne Michaels, and Lorne Michaels let him use the Broadway video editing bay for free to edit the video.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's impressive. See how everything came together for that amazing video and that revolutionary song.
Exactly. And finally, Eric is about to do a 8-foot jump on the stage with touching his feet and his toes. Eric, Jump is the number one song in the nation.
That's right. Van Halen, Jump. That's right. Monty Van Halen and Jump. We're back.
Yay. All right. There we
Monty,
go.
Monty, I got to tell you something. We might as well jump.
Might as well jump. Yay. All right. Eric, do we have a pod distance dedication this week?
I don't know. Let me call in the guy and check the check the mailbox here. Let's see. All right, Monty. Welcome to Pod Distance Dedication. This week, we get a letter coming in from Tom to Daryl. This week's letter says, "Dear Daryl, you were my first love. You smelled a little fishy, but I still loved you. And this was your first effort in cinematic wonderment. Daryl, I loved you then, and I love you now, and I'd chase you to the bottom of the sea, even if you aren't the Little Mermaid. Please play Love Came For Me from Tom to Daryl." We're counting them down.
Love Came For Me? Yay.
Well, that was a weird one. What are we referencing there, do you think?
I don't know, Chicken of the Sea, tuna? I have no clue. Splash? I don't know.
Actually, I think it is from... you should know what it's from, Monty, because it's from 1984's classic movie Splash, that song. That's what he's talking about. Right. Well done, Tom. Well done. Talking to Daryl, not talking about the Little Mermaid and Under the Sea and all that nonsense. We're talking about the actual mermaid played by Daryl Hannah.
Yay.
We're Thank counting you. Them down.
I'll see you next week. Yay. we'll do a quick Beatle news. Yay. This week in 1976, Wings released, Paul McCartney's band released at Wings at the Speed of Sound in 1976. Every member of the band wrote a song and sang the song just to prove it was not a vehicle for Paul McCartney, even though it was. And after this album, they do their Wings Over America tour, which was the biggest tour of 1976. Yay. And now it's time for This Week in the 80s.
Eric. But wait a minute. Wasn't that more Wings news than it was Beatles news?
Yes, Wings.
Are we gonna? Are you trying to slip by an expansion news segment in there? So it's like we have Wings news, and then we have Beatles news, and next it's gonna be like Ringo news.
Ringo's all star band news.
Yeah, Ringo's all star band news. We got three segments.
Yeah,
exactly. That's pretty good. Well played, sir.
All right, what movie came out this week 40 years ago? Eric, I'll let you have this one for some reason.
That's right, Splash. Starring Tom Hanks, John Candy, Daryl Hannah, Eugene Levy. And this movie was released, of course. It was the first movie released by Disney's American film release company, Touchstone Motion
Picture. Yeah, it was kind of a big deal because they said some nudity, doesn't say Disney on there. It says Touchstone. Touchstone was actually a really good production company in the mid-80s. They made a lot of incredible movies.
Yeah, they did. And Splash was an incredible movie. I mean, they had such lines as, what was it, John Candy and interpreting Swedish.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to say the lie because, you know, we're a family podcast right now at this moment.
John Candy's hilarious, that movie. He's just like just trying to pick up girls and whatever. The scene where they're playing racquetball. Basically, John Candy's really, really hungover in that scene because he hung out with Jack Nicholson all night, and the ball really did hit him in the head.
That's funny. There's a lot of it was a lot of racquetball being played in movies in the early 80s.
Yes, racquetball was like my mom used to love racquetball. I played a little bit. Did you ever play that much? Or
no, because it was was told not to for you can't, don't combine that with tennis because racquetball is all about the wrist and you'll screw up your
exactly. Exactly. Also, this movie is the breakout movie for Tom Hanks. Before that, he was known as on Bosom Buddies and on Family's Ties as, was it Uncle Ned or Cousin Ned?
Yeah, and it was Daryl Hannah's first movie also.
Yeah, Daryl Hannah's first movie. And then Eugene Levy and John Candy came from a Second City. And this kind of puts John Candy a little bit higher. Like he, after this movie, he can start running his own movies. Like next summer, Summer Rental comes out. And so John Candy is on his way. All right, Eric, this week in 1984. Apparently, this is double March because they had nothing good. Eric,
this is another favorite. This is like a cult classic, Bonnie, which you're about to talk about.
This movie was called Tank, stars James Gardner, Shirley Jones, C. Thomas Howe, Ginny Lee Harrison, and the only thing I've ever seen her not in Three's Company, and James Cromwell.
Yeah, James Gardner is a general, I believe, or no, was he? He's a colonel, I think.
Ready? I got it. Zach, that's James Carter, is a command sergeant major assigned to his last post before leaving the service. He's a colorful character and even has his own World War II vintage tank, hence the name, that is used for parades and such. After he stops a deputy from beating a call girl, he finds that he's a marked man in town. The sheriff arrests his son on a trumped up drug charge. When all else fails, Zach uses his tank to even the odds.
He breaks his kid. He breaks C. Thomas Howell out of jail. I remember that. You know what that had? That had one of the. That had a classic poster.
Oh yeah,
movie poster. Yeah, James Garner. Yeah, that was a great one. I think that's one of those movies that I secretly own on DVD.
I don't even know if I've seen it another way through. Seriously, this is what's next movie. I tried watching it. It was horrible. Remember, 40 years ago, this week came out.
Oh my
Ice God. Pirates.
Yes. Oh my gosh! Not to be confused with Pirates of the Penzance.
Yes.
No, this is just straight up Ice Pirates, ladies and gentlemen.
And Robert Orrick, and it made money. It made money.
Yeah. How?
Okay. Here's what it's about. In the far future, water is the most valuable substance. Two space pirates are captured, sold to a princess, and recruited to help her find her father, who disappeared when he found information dangerous to the rulers. A real space opera with sword fights, explosions, fighting robots, monsters, bar fights, and time warps.
You know what this was? They were trying. They're like, let's make Dune, but crap.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like now, I'm joking. I know Dune was good. That's not the end all be all everyone says it's going to be. I don't really.
I love these new Dunes. I love them.
It's interesting.
Dune and Dune Part 2.
Dune Part 2 is definitely better. You know, I like it. All right. In music this week, Eric.
What
phrase from this song came out this week in 1983?
What are you talking about, Monty? I'm curious. What are you talking about? Something that happens at night when you're walking around, you look up to the stars, and you see some serious moonlight.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. This week in 1983, David Bowie released Let's Dance and led to the, what was the name of his tour, Eric?
The Serious Moonlight Tour. I just want to get, I want to walk around all day and just do that. And I think I will now, Monty, after this. I think I'm just going to walk around all day and just randomly have sort of like a Tourette's serious moonlight thing. And I'm just going to point at stuff. And I'm going to go to like Costco and Sam's and just point at things and say that.
Serious Moonlights.
You know where this would look better? You know where this huge thing of Pringles would look better? It would look better in the Serious Moonlight. Wow. Now, that was 1983. Wow. You threw me a ball. You threw me a softball there from a year.
I'm going to throw you another softball here, Eric. Uh-oh. This week in 1983, MTV played this video for the first time.
Oh, that's right, Billie Jean. Well done, Monty. Ooh, Billie Jean. Step my lover. Ow.
I'm giving Eric just softballs today. This is like when we're playing tennis, and I'm just floating him over. Easy overhead.
I'm just hoping that coming up next is in too deep. No electric blue for me today. Okay.
Close to this week in 1989, my wife, not to get confused with my other wife, Belinda Carlisle, Debbie Gibson released Electric Youth. Actually, it was already released. It started its 5-week run at number one this week in 1989. Yay.
Oh man. Electric Youth, not to be confused with Electric Blue. It's called Electric Youth. Man, that Debbie Gibson, that video, shout out video from her the other day or a couple weeks ago was really nice. She's a very, very attractive woman.
Yes, always looks great. This week in TV news, it's not on the outline, but two things happened. This week in 1974, the Brady Bunch had its final episode.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, that late in the game?
Yeah, because 69-74, like the kids wanted more money, and like back then they're like, there's no tennis. Oh, no, fine, we'll just cancel the show. So you know how that goes. and also this week in, I think, 1968 or 69, Batman the series had its final episode, and Zsa Zsa Gabor was the villain.
Ooh, well done. Did you ever think about getting the complete series so you can have your Bruce Lee episode?
Yes, I should.
I think maybe we can make that happen somehow.
I should one of these days. I actually would watch all those again. They're on like sometimes they would have them on the mornings on I think IFC. I don't know if they still do.
There's a channel. I don't think it's local. I think it's but it's on the cable service here called Xfinity, and on weekend mornings they play Batman. The old ones, but I turn them on every now and again. It's usually Egghead.
I know. It's like weird. Like there's always like the it's not the ones you want to see. It's always Egghead or King Tut, like the real random ones.
Yeah.
Like what? Egghead? I don't know. I think Egghead was it Vincent Price played Egghead?
Yeah. Yes. But it's like, but why Egghead is on or Pharaoh? When I used to watch that, and the best part of for me was always the opening when he's when they're the cartoon parts going because you watch them as they punch upwards, baff, boom, bang, pow, boom, and then for some reason the villains are being hit so hard they're flying through the air. Did you notice that?
Yes, I was like writing the screenplay called Captain Mullet a few years back, and I was trying to make it kind of look more like a Batman thing, also with Super Friends, you know, like Captain Muller here, you know,
yeah,
Super Friends. and I just couldn't get the right mixture and all that. I didn't like the script. It's done, but I don't think I like it, so I have to look at it again.
Meanwhile, back at the Hall of Justice,
you know who did the voice the first season for that?
Casey Kasem.
No, if you listen to it, it sounds just like Ted Knight, because it's Ted Knight. He does the season. He does the first
Monroe back at the Hall of Justice.
And then after that, they have like a Ted Knight sound like, but the first season is actually Ted Knight. I was like, holy shit. That's like nice. All right. This week in 1980, Battlestar Galactica had its spinoff series called Galactica 1980. You remember this?
Yes, I do.
Eric, was Apollo in this?
No, it was it had Kent McCord. It was full Adam 5. Wait, what is it?
Adam 12.
Adam 12. Yeah.
Yes, he left the police force, and now And now he's on Battlestar Galactica. What?
But they had found Earth at this point, correct?
Yeah. Lauren Green, how is his fake beard every episode that you can tell?
Oh my gosh. But Dirk Benedict was involved somehow.
Yeah, they brought him back for the last episode that juiced the ratings. It was called The Return of Starbuck. And basically that one got like, that's like the best episode of the series. It went like down. It was like, I don't understand, like the two like best characters of Battlestar Galactica with no doubt was Apollo and Starbuck. That's yeah, a fact. And then you redo it and you don't bring them back at all. It's like, well, because who didn't like Starbuck? Everybody thought he was like
the best episodes of the Book of Boba Fett were Mandalorian.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
I don't think I finished season 3 of Mandalorian.
No, why? Come on, get on it.
I know. All right, now it is time for the Oscars. Yay!
Oh boy,
we're doing the 1984 Oscars.
Yeah,
it was hosted by Johnny Carson. This is his fifth and final time to host the Oscars.
That's Eric, interesting.
Who is the all-time leader of hosting the Oscars?
Oh, that's Bob Hope.
At 19.
Wow.
Number two, Eric?
Billy Crystal. You look marvelous.
He does a great job, too. Best one is like when Jack Palance won Best Supporting Actor, and he starts to push one arm.
Yeah, because of their allegiance on City Slickers, and in City Slickers 2, Curly's Gold.
Yes.
But what about Billy Crystal became famous for doing all of the best nominated songs.
Oh, yeah.
Himself doing spoofs of them, sort of.
Yeah, Billy Crystal is incredible. I remember the first time I saw him, he was on Soap, and then in late 1984 he hosted Saturday Night Live, and he did his monologue is hilarious. Because I didn't know he's a real good stand up. So he has that show, was it 500 Sundays, one man show on Broadway? That's incredible. And then the next year he was on Saturday Night Live with, that's probably what my favorite season. It's called the Hired Gun season, where they got everyone who was actually pretty good. They got Harry Shearer, Christopher Guest, Martin Short, Pamela Stevenson, James Belushi. That this was just like a slugger's row of talent on this. It was the year after Eddie Murphy left, and it was a really, really strong year.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel has hosted Oscars 4 times. So if he's tied with somebody right now. So if he gets one more, he will be tied for third with Johnny Carson. So that'd be kind of interesting.
Wow. Who's he tied with right now? Who else has hosted 4 times?
They said it's weird because Whoopi Goldberg has, but one or two of them, she was a co-host. So we don't know if we should count that.
And Tina Fey,
yeah.
Like that with the co-hosting with Amy Poehler.
Yeah, yeah. That's the Golden Globes, though, I think they've done.
Is it? Okay, I thought they did that. And then David Letterman, of course. Oh, no, that was a big fail.
Oprah. Was it?
Uma. Oomba. Oprah. And then Seth MacFarlane. Whoops.
I still want to know, was the David Letterman that bad, or was it just this, we don't remember it, they just went after him for no reason, because he had all this good press, he was beating Leno at the ratings at the time, and he's making all that money, to say, hey, let's go after him for this.
I think, if I remember correctly, I think that was one of those scenarios where there were people that wanted someone else, like maybe it could have been, it should be Jay Leno, even for that, you know what I mean? But, because Dave's good, his humor, though, was so unique that I think that for the worldwide audience it might have been a little over their heads.
Yeah,
exactly. Stupid Petricks and top 10 lists.
All right, Eric, the best pictures of 1983, are we ready? After looking at this list, Eric, we agreed, was 1983 an incredible film year?
For some people they may have said those were some great movies, but it seems like one of those weak years where we're gonna choose for me they chose the wrong movie. But yeah, okay, you want to run through the nominees?
Yes. The Big Chill, which is actually a pretty good movie, which will make more sense to us now than it did when it came out. Yes. Do you remember this movie? I kind of know. I think I know what it's about. The Dresser.
I know. It was weird because it was like My Dinner with Andre, but it was just a piece of wood with drawers.
Yeah.
Oh, no. This is a different thing.
Yes.
It was about a costume design guy, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And an actor who's played by Albert Finney.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, Eric, this one, Eric, you got the Right Stuff.
Yes, this was a movie based on the New Kids on the Block song, The Right Stuff.
Really? Since New Kids on the Block hadn't been out for 4 years?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is a movie about space. No, it was a movie about the Apollo astronauts.
Yes.
A phenomenal performance by Sam Shepard as Chuck Yeager. And, you know, Ed Harris. I mean, it was a great movie.
Fred Ward was in it real
yeah.
good.
Fred Ward, yeah. But no,
yeah, I think that movie got better over time, as I don't think it made that much money when it was released and all that. And then John Glenn was also running for president then. And that didn't go well either.
No. No, and The Right Stuff was a movie. It was a very long movie. And yes. At the time, you know, people were starting to get off of that after the 70s with The Godfathers and all those. But I think The Right Stuff was the best movie that year. And then up next was Tender Mercies. Which is a movie about Tender Mercies, not to be confused with the other movie that came out that year called Tender Vittles.
Which
was the cat treat.
Who starred in Tender Mercies, Eric? Do you remember?
That would be one Robert Duvall
and Tess Harper.
Mm-hmm. But the winner that year was a movie that is good. It's a good movie, a little depressing, but Terms of Endearment.
Actually, too, like this movie. And As Good As It Gets, they were bigger at the time, but when you look back on them, they're not as incredible as everybody thinks it was. You know what I mean? They kind of loses something after time. Because As Good As It Gets, like, it was a really feel-good movie. They won Oscars for Helen Hunt and Jack Nicholson and all that. Mm-hmm. And then years later, you're like, was it really that good? Jack was just doing what he usually does. I'm not bagging Helen Hunt. Good for her, but you know, yeah. Maybe that year, 97, maybe give it to Peter Fonda, you know, for You Lose Gold, which I thought was an incredible performance, you know, maybe Samuel Jackson should have been nominated for best actor for Jackie Brown. Cause he crushes Jackie Brown, you know?
Yeah. But Terms of Endearment was a touching movie. And I think that was a touchy-feely 1983 film.
Yeah, I think maybe looking back on it, if you do it later, I think either The Right Stuff or The Big Chill would win.
Mm-hmm. That's true. It, you know how sometimes you want to redraft, you know, yes. Like that would be that.
Yes.
But the best director that year.
Peter Yates, The Dresser. Didn't Peter Yates also direct Breaking Away?
Did he?
I think he did.
Maybe he did. That would be interesting.
I love Breaking Away.
But then Mike Nichols for Silkwood. I mean, what?
How is Silkwood not nominated for
exactly
Best Picture? I would put it over. Okay, I definitely put it over The Dresser. And Tender Mercies.
Yeah, and then Bruce Beresford for Tender Mercies, and of course Ingmar Bergman for Fanny Alexander.
What is that movie about?
Oh, I don't know. I think it sounds like isn't there a thing called Kukla, Fanny and Alexander? No, that was Kukla, Fran and Ollie. Sorry, come on, that was a funny joke. Everybody, give me a laugh. Give me a little chuckle on that one.
I'm not gonna do it.
People are like this. What the hell is Kukla, Fran and Ollie? How old are you?
Okay, ready, Benny. Two young Swedish children in the 1900s experienced many comedies and tragedies of their lively and affectionate theatrical family, the Elk Dolls, whatever. No. Why is this nominated? Why?
He's nominated for Best Director because he's Ingmar fucking Bergman. Okay. That's why. Bergman.
No one saw this movie. No one fucking saw this movie. So fuck that. Okay. Oh, and Peter Yates did direct Breaking Away.
And the winner, James L. Brooks.
Okay. I guess he should have won. Maybe Mike Nichols for Silkwood, even though he won a couple years later. For what was that? One with Robert Redford and Meryl Streep.
Ironweed? No, that was.
Oh, they're in Africa or something.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so I guess James L. Brooks. I don't know. That's just our dude. You know who's not nominated at all? Lawrence Kasdan for
Kasdan. Kasdan.
Kasdan for For Big Chill. How does Ingmar Bergman get it over Kasdan? Okay, come on, that's bullshit.
Right.
Whatever.
How does Francis Ford Coppola not get it for The Outsiders? I mean,
yeah, I'll do that. All right. How did the Outsiders not have like either Ralph Macchio or C. Thomas Howell as best supporting actor?
I don't know. Because you know why? Because look at the other movies that are on there. The Outsiders is like a teen movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
All right. Best actor, Eric, do you want to take the first one?
Yes. Roy Scheider for Blue Thunder.
Oh, really? Did he win the Oscar?
No. He was not nominated. Of course, it was, hello, my name is Michael Caine, and I'm currently educating Rita.
Did you ever see that movie?
I did. I did watch that.
Can you remember anything about that movie?
I do not.
I remember being bored as fuck at Motwood Theater.
I used to go see all Michael Caine movies.
I can't even tell you what this next movie is about. Tom Conti for Reuben. What's this movie about?
When you go and it's like when Johnny two times orders a sandwich at a deli.
You get a Reuben twice? Give me a Reuben.
Yep. No, it's about two guys named Reuben, and they have some tender mercies together.
I'm going to call bullshit on that one.
Okay, I'm not sure. I don't want
to. Oh, I didn't know this. Kelly Yellis says, okay. A drunken Scottish poet has not written a word in years, feels compelled to regain control of his life after meeting a young, beautiful woman.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Sounds boring. All right.
All right. Also nominated Tom Courtenay for The Dresser.
And for The Dresser, Albert Finney.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Five people saw The Dresser. And they're all critics in 1983.
Not nominated. Once again, Sean Connery for Never Say Never Again.
Exactly. What's going on here? Come on now. Come on, guys.
Not nominated, Christopher Walken for The Dead Zone.
And the winner, well, I'm going to say they got this right, Robert Duvall for Tendo Mercies. Robert Duvall does not have an Oscar for The Godfather, does not have an Oscar for The Godfather Part 2, does not have an Oscar for Apocalypse Now.
No, but Tendo Mercies.
Yeah.
Best actress, 1983. Jane Alexander for Testament.
Was that the movie like about the hot, like after a nuclear war or something?
I don't know, man. I saw that. When I saw that, I'm like, I have no recollection of that movie.
Hold on.
That was that. This is a time when they're just pulling things out of the. I mean, come on. When Sandra Locke is available for Sudden Impact.
Oh yeah.
What are you doing? What are you talking about?
Okay, yeah, I was right. The life of a suburban American family is scarred after a nuclear attack. I was right. Not to get confused with The Day After. That was also a crappy TV movie.
Yeah. And then what about, you know, also could be what's his name? What's her name? Ellen Brody for Jaws 3 could have been nominated for that too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But Meryl Streep for Silkwood nomination. So yes. Silkwood gets the best director. A best actress nod, but not best picture.
Yes. Julie Waters for the aforementioned Educating Rita. And I don't think I ever saw her again after this. Educating. And then two actresses from the same movie, Deborah Winger for Terms of Endearment and Shirley MacLaine for Terms of Endearment. And who won, Eric?
Shirley, of course.
Who is Shirley MacLaine's brother?
John MacLaine, who saved Nakatomi Tower.
You don't know? Tell me you do know this.
Tell us all, Monty.
Warren Beatty is Shirley MacLaine's brother.
And you know, that's great. That's a nice tie in, Monty, because Warren Beatty screwed up the Oscar announcement for Moonlight and said it was La La Land.
Actually, no. This is what happened. I just heard this on a podcast, Jimmy Kimmel and Bill Simmons. Okay. They gave Warren Beatty the wrong envelope that said Emma Stone, La La Land. So basically, according to Jimmy Kimmel, Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty do not get along. They don't like each other, apparently. Mm-hmm. So they went out there to do it. And Warren Beatty has the envelope in his hand, and he sees it says Emma Stone, La La Land. So he knows it's the wrong envelope. So he's trying to figure out what to do. And then Faye Dunaway thinks he's screwing around. So she just grabs it and looks at it, and she says La La Land. And that's what happens. And then Warren Beatty does not give up the envelope because he knows if he gives it up, he might get screwed. He has this envelope today to show he did not screw this up. And then we find out it was actually Moonlight.
Well, that would be, and that's why Jimmy Kimmel, before the announcement this year, said, make sure you tear up that envelope.
Oh, yeah. Emma Stone won, yes.
Yeah. And then for Best Actress. and then and tear that envelope up, because out came Al Pacino, who also is a little bit cuckoo.
That's what everybody said. Then he just woke up, put on a tux, and came to the Oscars.
just to deliver that line, just to say, my eyes tell me Oppenheimer. And all apparently, right,
after this movie, Shirley MacLaine wins Best Actress.
Yeah.
Okay. What is her next movie she does?
I don't know.
Cannonball Run 2.
Oh, well, that's great.
And then she doesn't do anything major until 1989. 5 years later, she gets her first good role in a movie, still Magnolias.
Mm-hmm.
And then she does Postcards from the Edge the next year. And then nothing that's remotely memorable. So she wins the Oscar and nothing happens.
Yeah, but she did Evening Star, didn't she?
96.
The sequel to Terms of Endearment.
Which was supposed to be a big movie, which wasn't, but whatever. It is what it is. And then Deborah Winger, after not winning the Oscar, her next movie is Legal Eagles, followed by Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. Then she doesn't do anything big until Leap of Faith in 1992, and then you basically never see her again.
Legal Eagles, though. You're going to need that. You turn your left turn signal, because you make a left-hand turn. And then, excuse me, hang on, I'm going to sneeze. Anyway, so real fast, Monty, speaking of the Al Pacino Oscar thing this year, they said apparently the reason that he didn't read the nominees was because Chris O'Donnell was supposed to be there. It was supposed to be the two of them.
Really?
A Scent of the Woman thing. And that's why he did that whole, my eyes see this. And Chris O'Donnell was there. So, and he was the one who was supposed to, you know, they were supposed to do the nominees. So Al Pacino just skipped it. This is what I read.
Huh, good to know. All right. Best Supporting Actor, 1983. Rip Torn, not for the Larry Sanders Show, but for Cross Creek. Did you ever see this movie?
No, I did not.
Charles Durning for To Be or Not to Be.
That is the question.
Not one of Mel Brooks' best movies, but I like Charles Durning. John Lithgow for Terms of Endearment.
Okay.
Sam Shepard for The Right Stuff.
Should have won.
And, of course, they gave it to Jack Nicholson, but Best Supporting Actor. That was just the one, like, you knew, that was like the Oscar part that you knew they were going to give it to him. But let's give it to Sam Shepard. Why not? You know, the late Sam Shepard.
I mean, they both played similar, you know, Jack Nicholson played former astronaut, and Sam Shepard played a fighter pilot.
Yeah.
And, all right. Best Supporting Actress?
I saw Sam Shepard once in the bar I worked at, like 2006 he came in. Like, he's tall, tan, good looking, like wearing like a fighter pilot, a pilot leather jacket and all. He just looks so cool. I'm not gonna even lie.
Pulitzer Prize winning playwright.
Yeah, he's awesome. He was awesome. Great guy. All right, supporting actress. Cher for Silkwood. Silkwood's getting everything but Best Picture. What the fuck? Okay.
I know.
You know, Silkwood maybe should have won Best Picture. If we look at it, if I get
to it. Exactly. Okay. It's one of those weird. Why didn't it win? Because we didn't want to discuss nuclear issues.
Yes. All right.
Glenn Close, the big chill.
Yes. Amy Irving Yentl. Let's forget Barbara Streisand got shut out. Everybody thinks. I think people like Yentl, right? I never saw it. Is it good? Is it good or not? Or
Papa, can you hear me? Yentl was shut out.
She directed it. Barbara. It was like, I remember there was some buzz at her getting shut out. They were not happy.
Yeah. How many people do you think saw Yentl after they saw Deadpool? A lot, I think.
You're probably. All right.
Alfie Woodard. Oh wow, Alfred Woodard for Cross Creek.
Cross Creek. This movie I don't even know about. Hold on, I gotta. Let's do this right now. I wonder what the fuck is this movie about.
Cross Creek. It sounds like
two nominations, and we don't know one thing about this movie.
Cross Creek sounds like it sounds like in early 80s it would have been a horror movie. Cross Creek.
Oh, I know what this is. It's directed. Oh, it's directed by Martin Ritt, who directed Beverly Hills Cop. So, 1930s, Marjorie L. Rollins moves to Florida's backwaters to write in peace. She's bothered by the affectionate men, editor, and confused neighbors. But soon, she connects and writes The Yearling.
Oh, so it's about the writing of The Yearling. Okay.
So I'm glad I skipped that.
Okay.
Very, very interesting. Version played the main character.
It sounds like it would be fun if you want to know about the history of The Yearling. Okay, and then, but the winner, the big winner is...
Linda Hunt, The Year of Living Dangerously, which, I don't know, was that movie any good? I never remember.
Yes, it is. It's very good. Mel Gibson. And also, you might remember Linda Hunt, most people, from NCIS Los Angeles.
I think I would give this one to Cher.
Yeah, definitely Cher.
All right, song of the year.
Actually, I would give best supporting actress to Cher, and best actress to Meryl.
Yeah, I'll do that.
All right, song of the year, Monty.
Here's the nominees. Maniac. What movie is that from?
Flashdance.
Over You from Tender Mercies. Eric, you do the next one since you've already said it.
Papa, Can You Hear Me? From Yentl.
The Way You Make Me Feel? From Yentl.
Not to be confused.
And the winner, Eric, they got this one right. Flashdance. What a feeling. Irene Cara. Yay. Yeah,
I think it should have been Maniac from, if you're going to choose one of the Flashdance songs.
Yeah. But actually, Maniac was got more play.
Michael Cimbello.
Okay. So now we're in the 1989 Oscars for the year 1988, which is a lot better movie year. I think the wrong movie won, but we'll get to this in a minute. Okay. Yeah. 1989, they had no host. Alan Carr, the producer of like Grease and all that, he produced this. And he did such a great job, they never let him come back again. This is known for the Rob Lowe Snow White thing that was
horrible. Oh my God. Wow. Yeah, that's bad. Yeah. But no host. They've tried that a few times.
Yeah.
Sometimes it fails. Sometimes it succeeds. Sometimes it fails.
Yes.
But the best. You want to look at the best picture nominees? Yes.
Working Girl, which I saw in the last couple of years, it's all right. I don't know if it's best picture. Mississippi Burning.
Yeah.
Accidental Tourist. To this day, I've not fucking seen. Was that any? Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was all right. It was pretty good.
Dangerous Liaisons, which is really good.
Yes.
And the winner, Rain Man.
Ooh, no nomination for Naked Gun.
I know. I can't.
But yeah, Rain Man. I mean, you can see a lot of people being angry about that because it's like Rain Man. You know, it's like okay, it's a gimmick movie, and you know, when you got Mississippi Burning, which is as a serious topic, and Gene Hackman kicking some ass.
You know, Eric, what 1999 movie was a remake in modern times of Dangerous Liaisons?
Oh, Cruel Intentions.
Okay, Rain Man's good. I don't know. I might give it to Dangerous Liaisons, though. I think it's a little bit of a better movie, but
yeah.
All right, best director, Mike Nichols is back again with Working Girl. Oh, he won a couple years before for Out of Africa. That's what.
And he'd been nominated in '83. Remember?
Yes. We got Alan Parker for Mississippi Burning. Martin Scorsese for Last Temptation of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That one's a weird watch. Have you gone all the way through on that? Or
Yeah. Willem Dafoe.
Yeah. They called him like a zoned out Jesus.
Yeah. Charles Crichton for A Fish Called Wanda, which should have been nominated for Best Picture also.
Yeah, Fish Called Wanda. Oh, I agree with that. Fish Called Wanda's great, but they don't like comedies. But that's right. That's a great movie. And the winner, Barry Levinson for Rain Man.
Maybe.
You know what? They didn't even have a director for the Dangerous Liaisons.
I know. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. All right, actor. This one's actually not bad. Gene Hackman, Mississippi Burning.
Yeah.
Max Van Schnell, Pell the Conqueror.
Ben Sitow, Pell the Conqueror. Was it a soccer movie? Oh, no, that's Victory. He's in Pele. Victory.
That's Pele. I don't know. It's a foreign movie. I don't know. Tom Hanks in Bid. Yay. Mm-hmm. Edward James Olmos, Stand and Deliver, which is actually a really good performance. And the winner, Dustin Hoffman, because as we know from the movie Tropic Thunder, Eric, you don't go.
You never go full retard. But you know who was a snub that year in my mind was Michael Keaton for Clean and Sober.
Yeah. Was that year?
And, okay. And you know who else was snubbed that year? Bruce Willis for Die Hard.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There we go. Bruce Willis. I guess I'm okay with Dustin Hoffman. Maybe Edward James Olmos.
I think Gene Hackman.
Or Gene Hackman. I'm fine with this. All right. Actress. Sigourney Weaver was nominated for both acting jobs this year. Best actress for Gorillas in the Mist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Glenn Close, Dangerous Liaisons. Melanie Griffith, Working Girl. Meryl Streep, A Cry in the Dark. Is that the one that Dingo Ate My Baby?
No.
Which one's that? What movie is that one?
Sophie's Choice, I think.
No, that's not Sophie's Choice.
Oh, okay. Maybe it is A Cry in the Dark.
I owe you a slap.
The only reason that you're thinking of The Dingo at Your Baby is because of Seinfeld.
No, that's the only reason why. Yeah. I didn't know until later it was a movie.
Maybe The Dingo Ate Your Baby. Maybe A Dingo Ate Your Baby.
Yes, it is. I was right.
I know.
It's Mother Whose Child Is King of the Dingo. I was right.
It's A Cry in the Dark. But the winner is Jodie Foster.
Hold on, let's go back to this. I was right.
You were right, Monty. Monty, I'm going to give you that. You were right. I know it wasn't Sophie's Choice. Come on. She didn't have a choice between giving the dingo a baby.
Jodie Foster for The Accused, which is really good. She did a really good job. I don't know. I'm okay with that one. Maybe. Do you want to change it? Or
No.
Priscilla Presley for Naked Gun?
I'm fine. Priscilla.
or Kim Basinger for My Stepmother Is an Alien. You know, I'm fine with all these.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, you know, we forgot should have been nominated is Roddy Piper for They Live. But anyway.
Okay, that's Best Actor. I agree with that. Okay,
Best Supporting Actor.
I didn't even know he was still acting at this point. Alec Guinness, not for Star Wars, not for
Murder by Death.
Murder by Death. I love that fucking movie. That movie. For Little Durant. I don't know anything about this movie.
this is a weird category because there are some other options they could have gone with here. Martin Landau for Tucker. Is it Tucker, A Man in His Dream?
Yeah.
Yes. River Phoenix for Running on Empty. Dean Stockwell, Married to the Mob. That's that movie. That's the, if you remember that, that was when instead of Sam leaping into someone, Al leaped into someone.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Kevin Kline for Fish Called Wanda.
I'm fine with Kevin Kline. Maybe Dean Stockwell.
Yeah, but I'm happy that Kevin Kline won because that's a big surprise.
Yeah,
it was a
comedy guy.
Yeah. Best Supporting Actress.
All right, Joan Cusack, Working Girl. She was great. My Wife, Michelle Pfeiffer, Dangerous Liaisons.
Not your wife, Frances McDormand for Mississippi Burning. Yeah. And by the way, just so you know, Frances McDormand has been nominated so many times. Think about that.
I didn't even know she was getting nominated back then. Sigourney Weaver, Working Girl, again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the winner. Did you ever see this movie, Accidental Tourist, Gina Davis?
Yes, I did see it. It's William Hurt and Gina Davis, Accidental Tourist. This is one of those movies where you feel like you have to watch it. It's kind of like The English Patient. You know what I mean? Well, I got to check it out because I guess it's a big deal. But then it's like, yeah, I'd rather watch Die Hard.
Yeah, okay. I have no clue. I have no desire to see that movie whatsoever. All right. I guess looking back, either Joan Cusack or Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah. They also snubbed, by the way, for Best Supporting Actor, O.J. Simpson as Nordberg.
Nordberg. Yes. Okay. Only three songs nominated that year. One song, calling You, Baghdad Cafe. I don't know this song. Do you?
No, but there's one that I just this movie that you're about to talk about with the song. This is just a fiasco. I just cannot stand it. This is one of those top of my list hate movies.
So we're talking about Two Hearts, Buster.
Oh God, that movie.
Buster. Joe Collins. But that's horrible. And the winner, Let the River Run, Working Girl, sung by Carly Simon.
And that's good. I'm glad. I'm trying to think of other potential hits from the time, you know, from movies. And maybe there weren't any. There just weren't any. I mean, you could have done the theme from They Live. You know, John Carpenter can always get nominated.
Yeah, I don't.
But
I guess it was a bad year. There wasn't. We didn't have Flashdance 2, Electric Boogaloo on that year.
Yeah, I know. What about, is it original song? Because you could have done The Weather Outside Is Frightful from Die Hard.
Or we could have done the one, what's the one they did the Fall in Love spoof and Naked Gun when they
ran on the beach. Yeah, or they could have done that. You know, it was surprising though. They snubbed, because I think it was a ballad. It was called We Are Just Gorillas in the Mist.
Fine, we'll do that one.
Oh no, I'm wrong. That wasn't a thing, was it? But it should have been, and now I'm gonna work on that song.
There you go. All right, Eric, you got anything else for these Oscars?
Oh, I don't. The Oscars this year, what do you think about the winners? Do you think Oppenheimer should have won all those awards? I do.
Do you want to know the truth? I've yet to see Oppenheimer.
Okay, then your vote doesn't count.
I did not want to spend 3.5 hours in a movie theater.
Bonnie, come on. It in IMAX even. It's really good. It's a great movie.
I'll see it next week. I promise. It's back in theaters. I will see
and,
it.
But there was a big surprise. The big upset of that was Emma Stone.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Lily Gladstone had swept everything.
They said they made a mistake. They should have let her do Best Supporting Actress instead, but because they said she's not really in the movie that much.
Lily? Yeah. Yeah, but maybe the Best Supporting Actress category was a little too crowded.
Yeah. Did you see Poor Things?
Yes, I finally watched it. I really
How
liked
was
it. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
And by the way,
you know what else I thoroughly enjoyed? I got to personally plug a movie now. It's limited in theaters. It's there in Dallas for 1 week, and it's also on demand, and it will be then on Stars. It's a movie called The Throwback, starring Will Sasso and Tommy Lee, and not Tommy Lee from Motley Crue. Tommy Lee, the actor, comedian.
Tommy Lee Jones.
No, the Asian American actor comedian Tommy Lee, and it also features in a large scene, about a minute and a half, of a song called "Black Reflections" from a band called Stripping the Pistol, which is on our label TLG Zoid.
Was it The Throwback?
The Throwback. It's a light comedy. It's sort of a body swap comedy, but without the body swapping. She experiences something, and she's in her 40s, and she regresses back to when she was 19. Mentally, she thinks she's 19. She's married to Will Sasso.
Oh, Bobby Lee, he's a comedian. Okay, I know.
Yeah, it's pretty.
She's from
One Day at a Time remake
and 6 Feet Under.
Yep, and it was actually pretty fun. The movie. I went to the theater and saw it twice. Because I wanted to see it one time to see how the song was used. And so it was unfair to the movie because all I was doing was waiting till that scene. So I saw it a second time so I could watch the movie through all the way through.
They got a lot of comics in this. Ron Asher's a comic.
Yeah.
Oh, the guy from the guy from Office Space, the Bone Roller.
Yeah. it's pretty funny. It's got some good bits, and you know who will really like it are I think married couples with kids would enjoy this movie. I kind of wish it would get a longer theatrical release. It would probably between 25 and 30. One more thing, next week, don't forget everybody, on the 21st, Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne drop the new single Crack Cocaine, which will probably rocket to number one on the rock charts.
Yay.
Also released on TLG Zoid.
Nice. I'm going to charge Eric for those ads.
We're allowed to plug our own stuff.
Yeah, we're fine. I'm joking with you. Like, I haven't plugged my stupid comedy act, whatever I do. All right, Eric, anything else you want to say?
No. Thank you, Monty, as always, for getting all this together, for hosting, and for keeping it real, and for always working on your hair.
Yeah. If you want to, like, get more 80s stuff, say some of the blogs I've written about our topics in the past, you can go to 80sonly.wordpress.com. That's 80sonly.wordpress.com. For Eric Sweeney, this is Monty Griffin saying, the only thing better than talking about movies with your buddy is both of you still have an incredible hair in 2024. See you all next week.
Hello.
Goodbye.
Hello.